Good morning, everyone. It's nice to be back with you again. Our reading this morning is from John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And quite coincidentally, you're looking at Try Praying, and this is the prayer of Jesus. This is not where he teaches his disciples how to pray the Lord's Prayer, but this is his prayer before he goes to the cross. He's had the Passover meal with his disciples. He's gone out, and before he's betrayed, he prays. And it's his prayer that I would like to look at. It was when I'm at college just now, as you know, and I'm studying for theology and for preparation for the ministry. And it's not just about interpretation of Scripture, but it's also about exploring your faith. And I just found this chapter so invigorating when I went through it. So let's have a look at it this morning, John chapter 17. John writes that after this, Jesus had said this, he looked up towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of this world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know everything that you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things that while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, that I myself may be in them." Give thanks for the word of the Lord. Quite a long chapter 17. And there's lots in there, and I probably won't do it justice by picking out every single thing this morning, but there are some specific things that I want to look at. We were hearing earlier on about Jesus walking along with two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they were kept from recognizing him until he spoke to them about the scriptures and then sat down and broke bread with them. Until that point, they did not recognize him. They did not know he was there, even though he told them, "I am going away, but I will be back." that I will rise after 3 days. Jesus is alive. The tomb was empty. They were sent out by the man in the tomb to tell the disciples. And yet some who heard did not believe. And Jesus appeared to them and they did believe because they saw him for themselves. And then you have that passage in Matthew 28 where he appears to the disciples and he says, go and make disciples, teach them to obey all that I have commanded you, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples. Come, follow me, he says to the fishermen. Come, follow me, be my disciples. And in John 6, we read that some of them turned back when he's talking about being the bread of life. This teaching is too hard for us, and they turn back. And he says to his other disciples, what about you? Peter says, where should we go? You have the words of life. And in this chapter here, we say that Jesus, I have taught them everything that you've taught me. I've made everything known to them that you've informed me. That's in John 15 as well. I call you friends because I've made everything known that the Father has made known to me to you. So just started, what is it to be a disciple? What is it to follow Christ? Because surely it's more than just coming to church on a Sunday and singing some songs, singing praise. I mean, that is a valuable part of discipleship, to praise and worship God. But it's more than that. Surely it's more. Gathering together on a Sunday. What about the rest of the week? What do we do from Monday to Saturday? We look at John chapter 17. Jesus prays for himself, prays for his disciples, and then prays for all those who have yet to believe, who have yet to hear the message and come to faith. Three sections. And I think in here that we can see something of what it is to be a disciple. First of all, Jesus prays for himself. Father, glorify me so that I may glorify you. I have given them eternal life because I have made you known to them. Because they have seen me and they have seen you. I have completed the work that you set before me. Now bring me home. What does that mean for us? Well, in our daily lives, surely we are saved for a purpose. We have this purpose that God has called us to. He hasn't called us for no reason at all to reconcile us, because if that was just the case, he would just take us home. There's a purpose of being here on earth, to glorify him. To make him known to the world. We see that later on. But what is it to know God? Because I can read this book from cover to cover and I can know about God. But that's not to know God. This book could be written about my wife Trudy. It could tell me everything that she's done from when she was born to the day she dies or until I met her. And I would only know about her. But I know her because I married her. I share life with her. We're in relationship. To have eternal life is not just to know about God. It's not just to read this book, the words on it. It's to know the living God. Because Christ is alive and he was risen from the tomb. This isn't idols and false gods. This is a living God that was raised back to life, through which we can have a relationship, through the Holy Spirit, who testifies to our heart and reveals to us that the words in here are true. By completing the work, Christ says, I have completed the work you've given me. And we know by Paul's letter that God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And that he will bring it to fulfillment. But what is that purpose and plan that God has for you? What is it? What has God called you to do? Because he calls us all. He calls us, we're diverse and we're all different. Where do you fit in into the community? What has God called you to do? Because he doesn't just glorify through individuals. He glorifies through the church. And he glorifies as we work together in community, in fellowship, with other churches as well. His church, he's the head. He has a purpose for each one of us. Christ knew his purpose. He knew his work was done. He knew he'd completed it before he went to the cross. Do we know what we've been called to? Do we glorify God in our places of work, in our families, in our places of influence when we go to the supermarket? Because it's not just about the things we say. It's about the way we live life as well. It's the example that we lead. Having completed this, Jesus moves on to pray for his disciples. They've been separated out. They don't belong to the world anymore. They are not of the world any more than I am of the world. That's true of us. We're not of this world. The strange thing is we look the same as everybody else that's in the world. I looked in the mirror and nothing's really changed. I don't look any different to any of these other people that walk around me. But I don't belong to the world anymore. I'm not a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of the kingdom. And so are each one of you. You've been transformed and changed because Christ has come to live in you so that you are one with God as well as Christ is one with God, the Father. We are united in Christ through the Spirit. And we've been separated out from the world and yet we've been gathered together by his Spirit. It is his Spirit that has drawn you into this building today and drawn you together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't belong to this world anymore. We belong to Christ. Christ says in the prayer, "You have given them to me." And he did. These disciples were given. In John 15, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Jesus prays that they will be sanctified. That's different to justification. That's the point of salvation, that you've been justified. Just as if you'd never sinned. Your salvation is secure in Christ as you come to faith. But there's a process of sanctification being set aside, set apart for a purpose. The children of Israel were set apart to be a light, a shining light. And nobody lights a light and puts it under a bowl. They put it on the top of a hill to shine. And as disciples, that's what we've been called to do, to shine in the world, to make God known. To reveal God to the world in word and in deed. Sanctified, set apart, to be made holy. And this is a process that will continue until the day that you are called home. And how are we made holy? I gave them your word. It is by your word that they are made holy. As they read the word and the Spirit testifies to the heart, they will be transformed. But we're also transformed as we gather together in community, as we gather together with brothers and sisters in Christ, as we come to church on the Sunday, and sure, we hear a preacher preach. But where are you speaking in this? Where is your conversation? Where is your part? I'm speaking to you. It's in that life that we share together, in the tea and the coffee afterwards, in the alpha that you're running, in midweek groups that you have. It is in these areas, as you share life as brothers and sisters in Christ, set apart, as iron sharpens iron, that you are transformed and sanctified by the Word of God. Not just as you preach and share Scripture, but as you live it. It's embodied into your life. We read 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, and it's great to know that stuff. But it's when you're in community and somebody's a little bit annoying and you are patient and kind. When you make allowances and you don't keep any record of wrongs. That's when you know what love truly is. Then it becomes more than just words on the page. When you support brothers and sisters who are struggling with their faith, who can't even pray. We have a booklet here. A couple of weeks ago, it was the anniversary of my brother's death. And I don't tell you this to be morbid, but I could not pray for 2 weeks before the anniversary of his death. All I could do was hold on to the fact that I knew that God was merciful and faithful and kind, and that he will never leave me nor forsake me. Jesus prays in here, I have protected them by your name. Now that I come to you, you protect them. Because I'm coming home. I'm coming home to be with you, but they're going to be in the world. And they need your protection because they don't belong to this world. His disciples lived in a time where it was under Roman occupation. They were persecuted for their faith. Paul says, rejoice always. Well, I'm sorry, I just couldn't bring myself to that place of rejoicing. All I could hold on to was the fact that God is faithful, that he keeps his promises. When he said he would rise from the dead, when Christ said that, he did. And he appeared to his disciples on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to his disciples when they were sat down having a meal. He had patience with Peter who denied him, and he helped Thomas to get past his doubt. And he helps us through his Spirit. But he also helps us through each other as his Spirit lives within us. That's what it is to be a disciple. That's what it is to follow Christ. To support one another. To be there for each other. To notice when somebody can't pray, to notice when somebody's struggling, and to draw alongside them. Perhaps the lyrics of a song can bring something to mind and can give you hope. And perhaps that could be the thing that you can pray into. So as we gather together and worship, we support one another. Separated out, yet guided, gathered together, supported by Christ, and sanctified by each other's presence. Jesus prays for himself. He prayed for his disciples then, and I've taken some liberties because I've already jumped on to the third part. Jesus sent out his disciples. You remember that story where Peter and John and James went to the mount before the transfiguration, and they wanted to build temples. They wanted to build places to sleep there and to stay there. Because when you're in the presence of God, that's where you want to remain. But God says, no, listen to my son, follow him. Because Jesus had to come down from the mountain to be in the world, and that's what we've been. We've been sent out into the world. We come in here to worship, to be equipped, refreshed, renewed, but sent out. We are people that are sent out. When they went to the tomb, they were sent. Go tell. When Jesus appears to them, go. Or as you go, make disciples. And we are called to do the same. Verses 18 to 23, where he prays for those that are yet to come to know. He says, as they go and tell them the message. And we've received that message because the disciples were faithful and did that. We've been called into the mission of God. As the Father sent the Son, Jesus says in chapter 20, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. We haven't been saved for our own benefit. For us to reap the joy of that purely, that's all it is. We've been given a mission. The church has a mission to make God known. To make God known in this generation. We do that. We go out knowing that Christ said to his disciples, surely I will be with you until the end of the age. And we know that as he was with the disciples, that he goes with us. We go out to bring glory to God. Then there's this bit at the end. I want them to be with me. It's quite easy to overlook that. I want them to be with me. There's going to be a day when God sends Christ back. Christ is going to come and return for us. And we're going to be with him. We can place security in pension funds, savings in the bank. All these belongings we have in our house. But nothing as secure as that promise that he will return. For those that have decided to follow him, and those when the teaching is hard, refuse to turn back, but know that Christ has the words of life, and continue to follow, no turning back, no matter what my circumstances, no matter what life throws at me, no matter how difficult it is. I'm down on my knees, I'm broken, I can't even pray, but I know that God is faithful and I know that he's coming back. And I know that there is a life after this that is far better than anything I will experience in this life, that will give me more security than I have ever experienced in this life. Through Jesus Christ, who did nothing to glorify himself, but only came to glorify the Father, to make him known, so that we may know him. That's what it is to follow Jesus. We've been separated out, yet gathered together. We are supported by a Saviour who is present through his Holy Spirit. We're strangers in a foreign land, even though we look like everybody else. We are being sanctified slowly but surely. Year on year, we are transformed and changed. And we are sent out in the world to bring this message to everyone else. Secure in the promise that Jesus will one day return and take us home. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks that you sent your Son, that you loved us so much, that you showed mercy and grace. We thank you for each one of us that you have made yourself known to. We do ask, Lord, that you will help us with those opportunities to share faith with others. Lord, enable us and equip us in our lives, not only to testify in the things that we do, but in the way that we live. Lord, draw us together by your Holy Spirit. Keep us united in the faith. Lord, let us be beacons of light in this time, this generation, and this town. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.